All right, gentlemen, they'll pass the offering plate. I'll try to stay close to this pulpit mic while they're doing that. By way of, let me just share with the congregation, by the way, if you have any children for Children's Church, they're free to head out one of the aisles there and head to Junior Church, or Children's Church, and that. But let me just share with you by way of prayer request. Last Sunday night, a little bit before 6 o'clock in the evening, one of our deacons, Brother Bruce Lego, I don't see him in the building today. He's probably watching the live stream this morning, but his dear wife, Joan, and went to be with the Lord. So many of you I know in our congregation are already aware of that, but she passed away, I think it was a little before 6 o'clock, around 6 o'clock last Sunday night. And so the preparation for that, Bruce has worked and put things together. The visitation will be here at the church. Everything will be here at the church. The visitation will be in the morning at 10 o'clock here at the church. And then the funeral service here will be here. Memorial service will be at 11 o'clock. And then there'll be a funeral meal after that. And then the burial will be at the Cadillac Memorial Gardens out on Ford Road. So pray for Bruce. I know they have been married, I think it was 52, maybe 53 years. That's a long time. And we just need to continue to uplift prayer for Bruce, and that if you can be here and support him in the morning, that would be great. And while you're also praying, let me encourage you to continue to pray for a few others in our congregation. Continue to pray for Art and Joanne Anderson. Keep them on the prayer list, if you will. Then Norma Eibach. I know Norma would love to get back here as soon as she's able to. I did visit with her daughter this week, and as many of you know, Norma has Parkinson's, and the Parkinson's is progressing and getting a little bit farther advanced along the way. Matter of fact, one of the daughters told me that they now got one of the family members that is staying with Norma they're not leaving her alone, so at her place at Walton Wood and that. And so just continue to pray for Norma Eibach and keep her on the prayer list. And also, too, if you will, Diana Sanchek, she's in the building. I think she went out with the Children's Church. She'll be having surgery, shoulder surgery, coming up on March the 9th. And if you will, just pray for her, and if you will. So many others in our congregation, Dell and Char Harmon, need your prayers. Dell's still at Marywood up there, unless they've dismissed him in the last day or two, by St. Mary's Hospital. Just continue to pray for him. He has fallen twice, broke his femur bone, had surgery, had that repaired, and then started again after that, fell and broke it again. And so he's in dire straits and trying to go through occupational therapy and physical therapy, trying to get stronger. Pray for Char and keep her on the prayer list. She has also some health issues and challenges with her. So a lot going on, and that folks that we need to pray for. Take your Bible this morning, if you will, and go to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 24. You know, when you think of the book of Joshua, this morning I want to preach a message that really centers around two key Bible characters in the Bible, things that we can learn from, that we can glean from. Joshua made an interesting comment. You know, when you get to the book of Joshua, by the time you get to chapter 24, there's been a lot of Israel and the nation of Israel, a lot of history, a lot of things that have gone on here that is so important. I remember with Israel when they were down in Egypt and God was raising up a deliverer. He raised up Moses, and I'll never forget when you're reading the Bible story about Moses that Moses began to make all kinds of excuses why he couldn't be the leader of the nation of Israel, that, you know, pick my brother Aaron, and he was the high priest, but, you know, he'll be a better spokesman. No, God knew exactly what he was doing. He raised up Moses to be the leader of the nation of Israel, to lead them out of bondage. During that time, and that is their leaving, there was also another young man by the name of Joshua. Joshua was really, I think, one of the right-hand people of Moses, and was a great military leader, but he was an individual that stands out, I think, head and shoulders above others in the Bible, along with, when you think about Joshua, you think about Caleb, you think about, you know, leadership here in the nation of Israel, and that is so important. When they were to go into the promised land, God gave Moses and that a vision and told them to go into the land to conquer the enemy. Don't intermingle with them to conquer the cities, to conquer the enemy that's there, because they would have false gods and that would hinder the nation of Israel. And history shows that Israel did not totally obey that as they went in. But when you look here in chapter 24, these are Joshua's charge. After all that he had gone through, Moses led Israel out of Egypt, took them up through the Red Sea, then led them through the wilderness wanderings for 40 years. They wandered in the wilderness. But because Moses had sinned against God, God would not allow him to take them into the promised land. Moses was allowed to be taken up to be able to view the promised land. He was able to get a glimpse of it, but it was Joshua that was able to lead them in and lead the armies in and the tribes in, and as they got settled in Canaan, and then lead them in the battles that they had to fight at Jericho and Ai and several of those battles that went on. And it was a great ministry that God gave to him. One verse is my text verse that I find that when he gives his charge to Israel. He says in verse 15, and we're going to go back and read beginning in verse 1 there in a moment, but look what he said in verse 15. He tells all the nation of Israel, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods," that's small g, "which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." And Joshua says this, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So I want to take that text of scripture right there, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And we find that how important it is with Joshua to be able to make this statement. And I want to share with you today. Let's go back up to verse 1 and listen to what Joshua has to say as they go into the promised land. And, you know, and this is the last speech that he makes before he goes on to heaven. And you think about this. It says in Joshua here in verse 1, he gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. And then he called for the elders of Israel. That'd be each of the tribes, the 12 tribes, and for the heads of those tribes. And he called for the judges, and he called for the officers. And then he presented themselves before God. And then Joshua said unto all the people. Now, the people at this time, probably 2.5 to 3 million strong here. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." A little bit of a history lesson here. Notice what he says. "Your fathers dwell on the other side of the flood, in the old time, even Terah, and the father of Abraham." I'm going to come back to Abraham here in a moment, but he goes on to say, "and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." Again, small g-o-d-s. "And I took your father, Abraham, from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children, they went down into Egypt. And I sent Moses also and Aaron," that was brother, "and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out." Now I want you to notice here the personal pronouns that are given here in the scripture, and by that meaning that it is God that has his leadership and his hand upon Moses. It is God that has his hand upon Abraham. And to realize it's really upon Joshua. And it's so important to see, look what it is, and to realize it's really all about what God is doing and how he leads and he puts things together. It says here, if you will, verse 5, "I, God, sent Moses and also Aaron. I, God, plagued Egypt according to that which I, God, did among them, and afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and he came unto the sea," that'd be the Red Sea, "and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen under the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and he brought the sea upon them and covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And you dwell in the wilderness a long season, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwell on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you. And I gave them, God says, I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land. And I destroyed them before you. And then Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, and by the way, Moab, the Moabites, have always been an enemy of Israel. They arose and they warred against Israel, and they sent and they called Balaam and the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And then you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho. The men of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And notice this now, and I, God, delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given unto you a land which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, and of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not do ye eat. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I love this now here. The Bible says, and the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, preserved us in all the way wherein we went among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt on the land. And therefore we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. And then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And all the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, he said, the strange gods which are among you. Incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. And Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone, set it upon under an oak, and that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. And then it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. They buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-serah, which is in Mount Ephraim to the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days that the elders that outlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And then the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem. And then in a parcel of ground which Jacob gave unto the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. And it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph, and Eleazar the son of Aaron died. And they buried him in the hill that pertained unto Phinehas, here his son, which was given him in Mount Ephraim. So many things that are important here in this passage. And you look here and you go back to the personal pronouns. And I love how that Joshua wrote this and recorded it in the scripture, because when I think about it today, if anything good comes out of our life, I think you have to look back and say it was God that did it. And so it was God that gave it. If you've had a healing, it was God that did it. If you had a blessing, it's God that did it. If you were able to overcome a sin, it is God that did it through you. It is God that has his hand all through here. I love how it says in verse 3 that I, God, took your father Abraham. And verse 4, I, God, here took Isaac and Jacob, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir. And verse 5, he talks about here, God sent Moses also and Aaron. Had his hand upon that every step of the way. He said here in verse 8, I brought you into the land of the Amorites. They're now ready there to possess the land to defeat the enemy. And then God simply tells us here in the scripture, it is I that gave you and defeated the enemy in front of you. It is I that destroyed them before you. I would not, in verse 10 said here, I would not listen to Balaam. I delivered you out of his hand. I delivered them into your hand. He said, I even sent the hornet before you. I have given you the land. So now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him, and put away other gods, and then choose you this day whom you will serve. The gods here before and others, and I find it interesting in these two unique Bible characters here. One talks about Abraham, and we're going to see in a moment in Genesis chapter 18 how that God knew the heart of Abraham, and that Abraham was in the Ur of the Chaldees, and God reached down and called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees to come to the land of Canaan. Now we see here Israel is going through some great battles. They've got to this point. It was God that delivered them before Pharaoh. It was God that brought them through the wilderness wanderings. They wouldn't have been in the wilderness so long if it was not for the shortcomings and the disobedience and the unbelief of Moses during that time. But we find here that God did allow him to see the promised land. So I would say to you today that we are where we are because God has brought us to this point. Israel is where Israel's at because God has brought them to that point. And now to this charge that he gives here to the nation of Israel and before he leaves and goes away. I love how it says here that all the days of Joshua that they served the Lord and that the elders served the Lord and that generation continued to serve the Lord. So when you look at verse 1 to verse 25, this was a time of worship, a time of thanksgiving for all that God has done leading up to and including the conquest of Canaan. You know, you think about it, we're entering the year of the 250th anniversary of America. You think about the blessings that God has poured out upon our great nation, upon our great land. If there's any good that's come out of it, it's because God has brought us through some great things down through the years in the history of America. When you think about the nation of Israel, the good things that have happened there, it's because God has led them and brought them through that. And the same thing I think about in our lives today, the battles that we fight, the challenges that we have, the hurdles that we have to get over. You look back, and I think we could say the same thing here along with Joshua. It was God that brought them through that. So really what Joshua does here, he really reviews. You want a good lesson in history? Right here it's recorded. Gives you a good history lesson from Genesis 11 all the way over to the book of Exodus in chapter 15. So you look back even in verse 2 here, we find the river Euphrates here where Abraham's family had lived. It is clear here that God's calling Abraham out of himself and was a call really out of idolatry. And that he called them out of a land of false gods and false worship. And there he said, and he had a vessel chosen unto him, and that man was Abraham. We find here that Joshua in verse 6 down to verse 13 here reviews the history that he gives. But notice he talks about the Amorites here. And that the Amorites, it's interesting because sometimes it's used in the Bible as a general term to represent the pagan populace that is there. And if you think about it today, they lived during that time as they went into a land, a pagan, a lot of idolatry, a lot of wickedness, a lot of false gods, and God gave them a warning as they were to go into that land. If you look at it today, down through history, I think we still see recorded generations where we have false religions, we have false gods, we have people that are serving others that not the true and living God. And here the Amorites are mentioned. At other times we know the name really refers to the people of the hill country. Notice in verse 12, he said, I sent the hornet before you. That's a description over in Exodus 23. And it's a picture here of God fighting for the nation of Israel, fighting for them. And this awesome flutter put the enemy to flight, and as the feared hornets literally can do. And then you got to love in this verse 15, where he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. You know, when you think about leadership, I've often wondered back, you know, what was it that shaped Joshua? What was it that molded Joshua? Perhaps a father, a mother, the family around him. Moses had a lot to do with it. But in his being here, we find that he was one that Joshua's fatherly model, just like Abraham's, was for himself and for his family to serve the Lord. Nothing better than you would want. You know, it's interesting that for our generations to come after us, not only for you and I to serve the Lord, but for our sons and daughters to serve the Lord, for our grandchildren to serve the Lord. I drove through, I was in a cemetery the other day, and I looked, and I was looking, because it really caught my eye. It was pretty unique, and it gave the persons, the father and mother, the ones that had passed, a little bit about them, the date of their birth, but on the back side of it was all their children, or their grandchildren listed there, and I thought, what a unique way to do that. And so when you look at it here, Joshua was concerned that as for me and for my house, for our generations to come, we will serve the Lord. And he says here, and then you notice in the scripture here that the population joined Joshua and claiming totally a commitment to serve the Lord. Hold your place here, but go back to Exodus chapter 19. Imagine the challenge of going in. And why I think this message is so important today. Not only is it important for you and I to serve the Lord, but it's important that we encourage, that we exhort sons and daughters and grandchildren and great-grandchildren to serve the Lord, and that you and I would take the example of being the best that we can be to be able to be an example in our family to encourage that next generation to go on and to serve the Lord. And so when you look at it here, in this text, you really go back up to verse 3. Start in verse 3. And Moses went up unto God in chapter 19, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. This is God's promise and blessing to Israel. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which I shall speak unto the children of Israel. Moses came, called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded. Now here's the key verse in verse 8. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. So he made the promise here. Then they promised they would do that. And I would pray that the next generation, one of the things that I always am concerned about is, what's the next generation going to do? And the generation that's going to do after that. I don't know about you, but I just caught a little bit of a glimpse of a little bit of revival, a spark of revival between a lot of younger people in our land now that Charlie Kirk is not here. And a lot of the concern, there was even raised in a news article this week that was concerned about this MAGA movement, this Make America Great movement. And I don't know about you, but I would pray whatever seeds were sown in that, whatever has been planted out there, it'll take root in the heart of the young people. It'll take root in the heart of people like a Charlie Kirk or whoever, and go out and continue just to thrive and do good and to prosper and to multiply. And that seed that is put in the ground, I pray it'll be a revival just sweeping the land, and that the next generation will rise up and serve the Lord. We find here these prominent leaders he talked about here in Joshua, and even Eleazar, these three prominent leaders, they were buried as the conquering generation was passing on. You know, it's interesting. I look around this room, and it may be many of us in this room, and I've often said this. I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about if the Lord tarries his coming and doesn't come soon, and this older generation passes on. that if the Lord tarries, what about that next generation? What about the young people that we have here today? And we need to pray for them, encourage them to walk with the Lord and to be faithful in serving Him and do all that we can do to have a godly influence on them. We find here faithfulness to God extended, really, though, if you look at it in verse 31, notice this here. This faithfulness, it says, and Israel served the Lord, in verse 31, all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, which had had known all the works of the Lord that had done in Israel. We know that history goes on to record that many of the younger generation in Israel then did not pick up and continue to follow the Lord. So we find here we need to do all that we can do. We find here in Joshua, and I find an interesting Bible character that not only in Joshua that we find here. Joshua, we know that as he passed, he wanted his remains to stay in the land of the covenant. And so now his people laid them to rest at Shechem. But go back to Genesis now in chapter 18. I find one interesting thing in relation to Joshua that is closely connected to, I think, Joshua and Abraham. Now, what is interesting when you look here and what made Abraham an interesting Bible character in Genesis 18 is referred to as a friend of God, as a friend of the Lord. And so when you look at Abraham, and you begin reading with me, if you will, in verse 1, it says, and the Lord appeared unto him, unto Abraham, in the plains of Mamre. He sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, bowed himself toward the ground, and said, my Lord, if now I found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, rest yourselves under the tree, and I'll fetch a morsel of bread and comfort your hearts, and after that you shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened to the tent unto Sarah. He said, make ready quickly three measures of the meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. Abraham ran to the herd, fetched the calf tender and good, and gave it unto the young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. They said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him, and now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. And therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? The Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? You got to love that in the Bible when that verses like that shows up. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou did laugh. God knows what we're doing, whether we think he does or not. And the men rose up from thence, looked towards Sodom and Abraham, and went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? And then seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now here's the key verse, I think, in verse 19. God said about Abraham, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. It was Abraham that God reached down and knew what he was made of and brought him out of the Ur of the Chaldees to be the leader of the nation of Israel, and then made a covenant with him over in Genesis chapter 12 to promise to bless all the nations of the earth, that through thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And I would say to you today that what was unique here about Abraham is it's interesting here. I look at verse 19 that it's an expression of a divine confidence that God had in Abraham. God knew his heart. For I know him that he'll command his children and his household after him. Now, when you think about that, can you really command? Can you really make the next generation? Well, you can to a point when they're under your household that, You know, it's interesting that I know our children, there was never a topic of discussion. We're going to church. You got to be nearly dead not to go to church, so don't give me your excuse come Sunday. I don't feel good. I this, that, whatever. No, we're going to church. And that, but you know, it's interesting. There does become a day where they then make their own choices. There became a day with Israel, with the nation of Israel in Joshua's day. It says that all that generation of Joshua served the Lord. And then when that generation, Eleazar and them, when that died off, then things began to change. So we find it interesting here. I think there's three things attribute here to Abraham. Number one is his faithfulness. Faithfulness. Secondly, his obedience. And then I think a third thing would be his consistency. You know, God loves, Dr. Odom used to say that time and time again, consistency, consistency, or faithfulness, consistency, thou art a jewel. If anything, just be faithful to God and be faithful to him and day in and day out. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, you'll see Christians, they'll get on fire for the Lord, and I could take you to people right now that are were on fire for the Lord and serving him, and then for whatever reason, whatever happened in their life, it kind of dwindled away, and then they dwindled away. Next thing you know, they're not in church or not serving the Lord. I always kind of look at it in the Christian life. The highs are great. The lows can be a struggle. I don't know about you, but I'd rather just live consistently along the way, faithfulness. If God gives us the highs and the victories, amen so much. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. In the valleys, and we were always taught, in the valley of life, in the struggles of life, in the crisis of life, in the challenges of whatever the heartache and the pain that you're going through, whatever the suffering that you're going through, don't quit in the valley. Don't throw in the towel in the valley. Don't give up when the chips are down. I don't know how many times I've tried to just encourage people. If you want to quit, you can quit. But don't quit now. Don't quit there. Don't quit at that moment. Wait till you get whatever it is you're going through. And that, you know, when you think about, even think about marriages and the home and the family, you know, when you stand and we do wedding ceremonies and you give a vow and you make a promise, don't be willing just to throw it in at the first hurdle, at the first challenge, at the first test, at the first whatever. You got to work your way through that and to be able to fight your way through it. Don't quit. Abraham didn't quit. Abraham was faithful. He was obedient. He was consistent. And we find here, it's interesting because when you look at Genesis chapter 18, we see a theophany. And Abraham perhaps didn't perhaps even look at it that way, but it says in verse 1, the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. So Abraham perhaps did not even recognize that at first as one of the visitors who he humbly greeted and entertained. And that was Yahweh himself. Then he lifted up his eyes, looked, and three men stood by him. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Abraham addressed God. Notice what he said. My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. So you got to love here when you look at Abraham. He was one of those, and I'm sure just like Joshua, had challenges as they went in to conquer the promised land. Wasn't easy. And as they marched around Jericho, as they conquered Ai, and as they conquered all those cities, and there was battles to be fought, cities to be won, challenges to be overcome, it was a tough road. You find right here the same thing that we see in Abraham's life here. Is anything too hard for God? In verse 14, he says here, at the time appointed, I'll return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah also shall have a son. God can do the miraculous. God can do things that you and I never imagined or ever dreamed that he could. So as anything, Sarah laughed within herself here. Sarah had she really had a total misconception of what God could do. And we know here that in verse 17, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? God is at work in our lives, sometimes hiding what he's doing, at other times revealing to us what he is doing. God is at work in your heart, in your life, your circumstances around you, and many times we're not even aware of his presence or his doing. The Holy Spirit is there. And God is doing that as the potter and the clay and the vessel, and he's molding and shaping and pulling out the things that will hinder us or hurt us. And so we find here God is at work in our lives. But we find here, you know, it's interesting. Go back to verse 20. The Lord said here, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, he said, and because their sin is very grievous. Now, I would say to you today, you might underline verse 20. And what was going on in verse 20, I don't see a lot of difference between that and our generations today and the world that we live in today. And it says in verse 21, God said, I'll go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And then the men turned their faces from thence, and they went to Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. You got to love these next few verses, because Abraham, being the faithful servant that he was, being the obedient servant, he now begins to plead for, notice what he does here in verse 23. Abraham drew near. He said, wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? Question mark. You got to love these question marks in the Bible. Peradventure, if there be 50 righteous within the city, wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Abraham is saying to God, shall not the judge of all the earth, God, you'll do the right thing? And the Lord said, here's what he said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Then Abraham answered and said, behold, now I've taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for a lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. Then Abraham says again, he spake unto him yet again, said, peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And then he said to him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there shall be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet for this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went on his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Man, you find an interesting negotiation here when you think about it today. What is hindering the judgment in the hand of God? What is to prevent the Lord from coming right now? And I think it's just waiting for that one more soul to get saved, one more person to come to Christ, one more opportunity for God to do whatever it is that God's going to do. Yes, we need to be faithful. I don't know, you look at it here, you find Joshua. And what kind of influence that you have a greater influence than you can imagine over your family. Be found faithful. Walk with the Lord. Be faithful to Him. And you can't maybe control some things, but you can definitely say, like Joshua of old here, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I know there comes a day when the children move out and they're on their own. They become adults of their own. They begin to make their own decisions, and they're going to have to decide, are they going to serve the Lord? You know, when you think about it, same thing with Abraham here. When you go over and you look here, it's interesting because God, when I look at this here in verse 19, the Bible says, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. Verse 19 of chapter 18. God knows our hearts. God knows our innermost being. God knows if we're just doing lip service and saying, God, I love you, I'll serve you, I'll be faithful to you, I'll give you my best. And he looks in the heart and says, do you really mean that? God looks at it here in Abraham, and he says here, I looked in Abraham's heart, and I know he'll serve the Lord. And I would say to you and I today that we need to take Joshua of old and be like Abraham of here. And you realize the obstacles that Abraham, you're leaving a home country where you come from, and yeah, it was a land of false gods and false worship, but somewhere in the middle of that, in Abraham's heart, was the seed of the Word of God and the relationship that he had with the Almighty. So God reached over and picked Abraham up and said, I want you to leave over there in the Moabite area and leave that area. I want you to go to the land of Canaan. And he did exactly that. And the Bible says that Abraham became a friend of God. You know, I look at all these Bible characters. None of them were perfect. They all had challenges along the way. They all had testings along the way. They all had hurdles to get over along the way. But you look here at a person like Joshua, And Joshua simply says, as for me and my house, my generation today. And the speech went out. You notice when Joshua gave the speech, it went out not only to his family, it went to all the heads of the tribes of the nation of Israel, went to all the leaders, it went to all of the whole nation of Israel at that time. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What about you today? Let me ask you this today. And you're today, because I do know this for a fact. One day soon, you and I will have to stand before the Lord as a believer in Christ and give an answer of this life that we've lived for Him. Do you love Him? Do you serve Him? Are you faithful to Him? In your heart of hearts today, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I would say to all the leaders of the homes, if you're the leader of your home, and whatever that might be, then take the leadership role, and as for me and my house, and set a godly example that those that are under your household, those that are connected to your household, they know what you believe, they know what you stand for, they know where you're at, they know what your consistency is, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray.